Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today on Galesburg Live.
We're happy to be here.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys.
It's a busy time for you. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But we're sure glad you could come in and talk to us about the toy drive that's going on this weekend at Menards here in Galesburg. Things look a little bit different this year. Normally, we were at Walmart, because of COVID, we've had to make things a little bit different this year. But we're so glad we're able to do it because there is a need here in this area.
Absolutely.
What are these toys for? Maybe you could kind of walk us through that for Safe Harbor.
So at Safe Harbor, we have a Christmas program to provide toys to our clients' children who, without the support of our community, wouldn't be waking up to presents on Christmas morning. But with programs like this, we're fortunately able to make sure that they do have presents on Christmas.
That's right. Taylor, how many families are we talking about here?
So as of right now for this year, we have about roughly 220-ish children.
Wow.
But, you know, we kind of do expect that number to rise within the next week, the closer it gets to Christmas.
The number to rise. So here we're just days away from Christmas.
Right. And it is very typical that we will see new clients even up to Christmas Eve. We will have new clients fleeing domestic violence situations with the clothes on their back and no idea of how they're even going to have a Christmas. So we'll still be signing people up basically right up until Christmas to make sure that we can get those kids some presents this year.
My gosh, this really takes the stress off the person who's the victim of the adult who's the victim in this. They're you know, not only fleeing a domestic violence situation, but they can't, you know, gosh, I don't even have Christmas for my kids.
Yeah, I think that's a really important part of our program is that kind of my reason behind what I do is that not only do I want these kids, you know, of course I want them to have a Merry Christmas,
of course,
but kind of just take the pressure off their parents and make that that morning a nice relaxing time for them to be together as a family when they may not have had that in the past.
And that's a good point to make. This peace that maybe a lot of us enjoy. We think of Christmas morning and it's the breakfast and maybe that's our whole life. It's just a lot of people don't have that.
Yeah, for a lot of people, unfortunately, in these situations, they're in crisis mode pretty much every day. And they've got so much other stuff that they're worrying about dealing with. And we just hope that this takes that load kind of
absolutely
off of their shoulders.
So when we're talking about gifts for kids, obviously a lot of toy drives they come up with, it's a lot of little kid toys, the dollies and the little tricycles and the bikes and the Marvel character, figurines. I'm old. That's what I've got. I don't know what they got. What do you kids play with? But it's the little kid toys. And that's great. We certainly need that. But there's a segment of the kids that sometimes gets forgotten. Who would that be? What would that be? The older teenagers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we do have a lot of teenage children that oftentimes are less fun, the less fun ones to buy for, but they still need gifts on Christmas.
Yeah, it's easy to find the little dollies and all those things for the little kids and, you know, to pick up some toys like that. But these older kids, they don't want a dolly or they don't want they don't want a little figurine, a Marvel character. You know, 13, 14, 15 years old. What do you get those kids?
So a lot of our older kids, they like gift cards. They like headphones, like video game controllers, video games. Our older girls, you know, they like more of the kind of self-care items. Mm-hmm. So like face mask, fingernail polish, and just kind of that stuff for them.
Yeah, that's very good. But of course, even better would be cash donations because you can take that and fill in the gaps.
Absolutely.
Right,
yeah. With cash donations, I mean, we generally have a good idea of what kids are still needing, what they haven't gotten, kids that haven't been chosen. And we can take those cash donations and buy stuff for those populations, the teens and kids that maybe haven't gotten as much gifts as we've gotten for the younger kids. So cash donations are also very, very important with our program.
We want to back up a little bit, and maybe somebody out there is not familiar with just what Safe Harbor is. They know that there's organizations like that here in the area, but Safe Harbor is, you have a very specific goal.
Yeah, so we are a crisis center. We provide services to survivors of domestic violence in the Knox County area. We have a whole range of services. We provide legal advocacy, child services, 24-hour emergency services, emergency safe house, counseling needs, and community education.
That's right. You have an office here in Galesburg on West Main Street, but you also have an undisclosed location that is a safe house for people who are leaving a serious domestic violence situation, and they have nowhere to go right now.
Yeah, so when we do get those crisis calls of someone who's in desperate need of somewhere to go, or they've been abused, or they're just in an unsafe environment, we do have a safe house
yes.
that
yes.
we can provide them with.
Yeah, to keep them, because in many times the abuser is coming after them. They're still trying to get to them, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And with us... we leave the office at 4:30, but our jobs certainly don't end at 4:30. We're lucky enough to be able to provide those emergency services until we can get them into our office in the morning and kind of pursue those legal options and anything else that they may need.
You work very closely with the Galesburg Police Department and the local police, right?
Yeah.
And sheriff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they will bring people to you sometimes?
Sometimes, okay. And
families.
Sometimes, and other times, it's a lot about when a survivor of domestic violence is ready to make that call, and they might be their first point of contact in that situation.
Right, because people will put up with a lot, won't they?
Absolutely.
It seems like, and things that I've read and talked with folks about, it's almost like it becomes a normal for them, even though for most of us, it's not normal, and it is not normal. It's not right, but they've lived with it so long that they don't know anything else, right?
Yeah, so I think a lot of our clients or, you know, people we see kind of, some of them have been experiencing it for a very short time.
Yeah.
But others, you know, it's just been progressive over time, and, you know, it slowly gets worse, and then, you know, it's just up to them to kind of decide when they're ready to make that call.
In your experience, how does this start? You had mentioned off mic that this is a learned behavior. I'm talking about the abuser.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a learned thing.
Yeah. So there is often a misconception that other factors might cause domestic violence, and they can certainly make it much worse.
Job loss.
Absolutely.
Addiction, those kind of
absolutely.
Things, right?
Okay. And they can certainly exasperate those situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
But domestic violence, at the end of the day, it is a learned behavior. It's all about power and control, establishing that power and control over another human being. And unfortunately, it is a cycle, and it's a cycle that can be broken with education and the proper resources.
That's right. That's right. But it is not normal. And the thing that amazes me about what I do is that there could be somebody listening to us talk right now that could be in the same room with that person that is the abuser. And they don't think they can. They may be thinking, you don't know my story. I know you think it's that easy, but there's no way I could get out of this. There's no way. What do you say to somebody like that, Taylor?
It is important to recognize that everyone's situation is different.
Yes.
So we're not going to try to say that we understand your situation. Right. But, you know, I think it's just important to let that person know that they're worth it and that, you know, we would love to be the first call you make. And, you know, we're here to help you and support you and just help you start a different life.
Yeah. But some people... and that's probably got to be just heartbreaking because of what you do, because no matter what you say to them, you're right. They have to make the, Kristen, you said it, and they got to be ready to make that call, right?
Absolutely. And on average, a survivor of domestic violence will leave up to 7 times before that permanent, they actually leave, they put their foot down and don't go back to that abuse. And that goes back to it being a cycle. It is a cycle that abusers exercise that control over them and keep them in that situation.
Mm-hmm. What is the crisis hotline? What is that number that people can call if they're listening? How do they get in touch with you if they'd like to call you right now?
So our crisis hotline is 343-7233. If you call between the hours of 8:30 and 4:30, that will actually just take you directly to our office, where we have advocates there that are 100% willing to talk to you. But if you call after hours, we do have volunteers from the community that also run the crisis line, and they can also get you in touch with an advocate.
Our toy drive going on throughout the weekend. That's exciting. We're going to be bringing a big trailer full of toys and hopefully a giant wad of cash to Safe Harbor to help out kids this Christmas season. I wanted to back up and talk about your backgrounds. It takes a special person to do what you do. And I'll start with Kristen. Where are you from?
I grew up in Knoxville, lived in Knoxville my whole life. I went to college at Notre Dame in South Bend. And now I'm back. I was a long-term substitute teacher for 2 years, and then I ended up at Safe Harbor, and I'm really happy where I'm at.
How do you end up where you are? Have you always wanted to? When did you get this passion, the calling to do what you do?
I think it honestly probably started back when I was substitute teaching and seeing children who are affected by these situations, and it often goes overlooked. And I really just wanted to be a part of some organization that could help out with that and help make a difference.
What are things that you see when you were a teacher? What are those things that you would see?
Well, I think a lot of kids can sometimes be misread as behavioral issues, and we often don't really look at what the root of those behavioral issues are, and we often overlook what's going on at home, and it's very hard to recognize what's going on in those situations. So being on the other side of that and really getting to intervene in those situations is...
Well, there are certainly some socioeconomic factors that make maybe people of lower income more susceptible to this, but it's domestic violence is not a, I mean, it doesn't necessarily follow that.
No.
The money.
Domestic violence affects anyone, regardless of socioeconomic status, gender, et cetera.
So our teachers are on the front line with that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any instance where you confronted the parents about a situation that you recognize that could be dire?
I think it goes back to, teachers have enough on their plate, obviously, it's really hard to kind of get to the root of those issues. But with those warning signs, it is very important to be able to identify those warning signs in children and. Mm-hmm. And be able to realize that maybe something else is going on there.
So as a legal advocate, we're talking with Kristen Kennelly and Taylor Van Wassenhove from Safe Harbor Family Crisis Center. As a legal advocate, Kristen, what do you do?
So basically, I assist in anything that you might need to go to court for that is domestic violence related. So one of our main services that we provide, we assist in filling out orders of protection. So if you come to our office and you're seeking to get an order of protection, you're probably going to be in contact with me. And then I would follow that client throughout the court process, the civil court process, oftentimes the criminal court process as a victim of those violent crimes. Mm-hmm.
And that's a first step, really, that order of protection is necessary.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's essential in making sure that our clients are safe.
Yeah, right. And you walk them through that, because that's probably a lot of why people don't come to take advantage of organizations like yours, right, Taylor? Because there's so much that they're overwhelmed and don't know where to start, right?
So, yeah, the process, you know, it can be very overwhelming, but that's kind of where we step in, because our legal advocates are able to take care of all the paperwork. They're able to call you and remind you of court dates. They're able to just provide you with support throughout that hard time that you otherwise wouldn't necessarily have.
Yeah. Taylor Van Wassenhove and Kristen Kennelly are from Safe Harbor Family Crisis Center here in Galesburg, our guests in this first hour, or guest in this hour of Galesburg Live. Taylor, where are you from?
So I'm from a little farther away. I'm actually from Stark County, which is over by Kewaunee.
Sure. Great. And you grew up there? And
yeah.
Okay.
So I grew up in Stark County. I went to school in Macomb at Western.
Yeah.
And I got a degree in social work there. And that's kind of through experiences there, that's kind of led me to where I'm at now.
Okay. So you've wanted to work with children and you wanted to get into this, you know, social work. They're kind of the unsung heroes. You both are. You're the behind the scenes. That's a tough thing to get into. What would make one jump into
It is. I'm not going to lie. It's very hard. And, you know, it can be exhausting. But for me, like, when we have a parent come into the office with a child and I'm able to be that child's, like, safe person, you know, for the day or for a few days, however long they're with us, just being able to be the place where the child can relax, where the child can feel comfortable, where the child's able to play and where they're able to talk about, you know, if they're ready to talk about things that are going on in their life and stuff, you know, kind of what's going on. I'm just – that, like, fills my cup, being the person that's able to just kind of take their load off.
Yeah, yeah. A children's advocate, what do you do? What do you do?
So what I do is, a lot of times when parents come into Safe Harbor and they have their children, that's where I come into place. I'll talk with the kids, you know, hang out with them, just provide them that emotional support that they may be needing during that time.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times our children do witness it, or, you know, they're kind of seeing what's going on in the home, so they need someone to be able to talk to as well.
Oh my gosh, you're right. They've gotten out of this terrible situation, but it's not like it just happened that night, right, Kristen? This is something that's probably been going on for a while, and they have experienced probably some pretty horrific things.
Absolutely, absolutely. A lot of our clients, unfortunately, have been in these situations for a long time, and their children have as well. And their children, it's horrible to think about some of the things that these kids have witnessed. And that's what we're there for, is to get these families into safe environments and to stop that cycle.
So Taylor, do you work with counselors to help them? Are you kind of the go-between for the kids to get them into counseling, those kind of things? I mean,
so a lot of our clients, when they do come, if they're looking for counseling for their kids, we are able to, you know, kind of help guide them in that process, give them referrals, give them a few phone numbers to call. And we do also a children's support group where they're able to kind of hang out and
With other kids that have experienced this.
So we have we actually have an adult support group. And when the parents come and they bring their kids, then I'll do like activities with them and, you know, kind of help build those relationships within those kids that we have there.
Wow. Because you can't, you have to deal with help the kids in a different way than you do the adults.
Some adults you can be very straightforward with.
Yes.
You know, the adult that's in our office knows everything that's happened in their situation.
Yes.
Where the child may only know bits and pieces of what they've heard. And so it's kind of, you know, just my job to make sure they're safe, they feel important, they know they're wanted, and that provide them with the necessary tools that in case they were to ever be in a situation like that again, how they could get out of it.
Yeah. Wow. We're talking with Kristen Kennelly and Taylor Van Wassenhove from Safe Harbor Family Crisis Center. What you were saying about the adult knows what's been going on, but sometimes the kids don't. And Kristen, when they're brought to your place, they don't know if they're ever going to get to go home, right?
Right. And it's a terrifying time for so many reasons. Oftentimes they've been taken out of that home environment, and even though it might not be the best home environment, it's what they know as home, and it's a scary transition, and we're there to make them feel safe and loved and make them know that it's not their fault that this is going on. Oftentimes we have kids, and it's so sad, kids that think that maybe something that they've done could have caused what's going on inside their home. And having that point of contact with them to make sure that they know that it's not their fault, and that teaching them what healthy relationships look like.
What is a success story to you?
What I would view as a success story from a children advocate standpoint might be a little different from what our legal advocates would view as a success story. But so from the child's point of view, a success story for me is just when that kid leaves the office and they have a smile on their face. You know, they come in, they're sad, and, you know, they just have that big smile, and they were taken care of, like, you know, they were provided with the support they needed.
Yeah.
And then also helping their parent or guardian get the support they need by, like, whether they need housing assistance, food. So just kind of what can a success story is like, what, how are we making their lives easier?
Yeah.
And how are we going to be able to help them sustain that life?
Yeah. I would think from the child side of it, one of your concerns is the effects that everything they've witnessed up until that point, how that's going to affect their life as going into teenage years, an adult, because this is something that they're going to carry with them forever.
Yeah. So you're definitely right. It is, you know, even if it's as much as a baby, it still impacts them throughout the rest of their life. You know, they're seeing this, they're witnessing it. They think it's the normal because that's what's happening in their home. And, you know, when I meet with those kids, it's just kind of showing them what a healthy relationship actually is and what it looks like. And then also providing them the resources necessary in case they were ever put in a situation like that.
Yeah.
To kind of get them help.
Do kids talk to you about how they're worried about how am I going to be broken forever? I mean, do you know what I mean?
A lot of the kids come in and they've just witnessed things that I can't even imagine ever experiencing.
Yeah.
So they're already heartbroken. They're already distraught. So it's just kind of what can I do to make this kid realize that it's not their fault and that they don't have to end up like this as well.
Yeah. This is not going to define who they are. It's a part of their life. But it doesn't have to define who they are, right, Kristen?
Right, I mean, absolutely.
And we talked about this whole learned behavior. When a child goes through that and sees that, isn't there a concern from your side that this could just keep going? It's like a cycle.
Absolutely.
Generation to generation.
That's absolutely it, and that's absolutely why domestic violence is so prevalent in our communities. It is a learned behavior, and with what we hope to do is intervene, and especially in those children's lives, to break that cycle, to teach them that those relationships aren't normal, that people don't deserve to
That's
be
right.
treated like that.
Kristen Kennelly and Taylor Van Wassenhove are our guests from Safe Harbor Family Crisis Center here in Galesburg. We're talking about a success story from the children's side of it, and now from your side of the legal, working with the adults. Success stories, what do you consider a success?
Yeah. For me, I think success story honestly would probably be the moment when I can tell that a client has kind of regained her power back, or his or her power back.
Yes.
When clients come to us, when I'm meeting with them, oftentimes they are at their lowest of lows. They're beaten down both literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
And it feels like they feel like they've had everything taken away from them. They're powerless. Oftentimes they feel helpless, and
many times that's true, right? Because
yeah.
you said it's all about control and manipulation, and that person many times has isolated them from all of their family.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean,
absolutely.
And they have no possessions, no control, and don't know where to go.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that makes it so difficult for someone to leave a situation like that. Starting over with nothing and having no idea how you're even going to put food on the table.
Yeah.
But for me, the moment that I can just see that a client of ours has regained that power, feels like they are in control of their life. You can just see it in their eyes. It's a 360 turn from that first moment that we had contact with them. And it's not just helping them economically, maybe getting them into a new house. That's always wonderful. But for me, it's really more psychological. It's being able to see that client and know that voice that they had taken away, they've got back, and they are advocating for themselves. And that's what we are there for, is to help them find that power. We give them their options. They're the ones that exercise that strength ultimately.
Yeah. Kristen Kennelly and Taylor Van Wassenhove, our guests are from Safe Harbor Family Crisis Center. That's what a success story looks like. But unfortunately, that doesn't always happen, does it? Yeah. What breaks your heart about what you do, Taylor, working with these children affected by domestic violence?
So for me, working with the kids, you know, it's kind of it is really heartbreaking. So a hard part that when I first started the job, that was kind of hard for me to grasp was that a lot of our kids that come through the door, I could see them for like 4 hours in this day and, you know, build this relationship and their parents off, you know, with our legal advocates talking about their options. And I'm just building this relationship with the child. And then the hardest part for me is sometimes I never see the child again. So I don't know what happened or, you know, how are they doing and that kind of thing. So for me, it was kind of learning, like, how can I still help these children? But at the same time, it's like having such a toll on my personal life, like always thinking about how the kids are doing since I haven't seen them in so long.
So you almost have to approach it as in, I have to do it. I may not have another moment with this child. I got to pour as much into them as I can, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Gosh, how about you, Kristen? What breaks your heart about what you do?
I mean, my heart breaks 100 times every day, probably.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for me is just the idea that someone could go through these horrible situations and be treated like this. The idea that anyone would ever physically harm, mentally harm a loved one, a partner, a child is absolutely heartbreaking. But we come to work every day and we do the best that we can to help out in those situations.
Yeah. And this COVID situation have you seen a rise in cases?
Yeah, we absolutely. Our numbers have been consistently going up. We're talking about a time when people are having to isolate themselves in their homes. And sometimes for people, that home is the most dangerous place that you can be. So we're taking that into consideration. Also, just a lack of resources. It's hard for people not in domestic violence situations to get the resources that they need. But factoring that in, it makes it very, very difficult to get out of those situations.
So if you have to isolate, you can't get in the most dangerous place for you if you're in a domestic violence situation. You and your child, how do you get away? I mean, what do you do, Taylor? What do you tell these people?
Yeah, that's kind of what we've been seeing, especially when we were more of a, like, in the quarantine stage.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people, like, couldn't make the calls that were necessary because they're always with that person.
Yeah.
I mean,
they
can't reach out to us. They can't reach out to, you know, 911 or anything like that because they're literally locked in their home with this person. And it's not, in this time, it wouldn't be seen as unusual to not see this person out in public for this many days kind of thing.
Oh my gosh. So I guess that what do you have for advice for someone who's in that situation right now? What do you say to somebody?
Well, and it has been very difficult navigating these added barriers on top of an already very difficult situation. What we would say is if you are in an emergency situation, 911, call 911 immediately. And beyond that, we do have a Facebook page that we can get secure messages from. Any way that you can possibly reach out to make that contact to get out of that situation.
But they're worried that the person's going to find out. I mean, that's what makes this so tragic. And because these are, you know, it amazes me how strong these people are they're just waiting for their moment, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
To get away.
Yeah. And unfortunately, especially with COVID, sometimes that moment has become the absolute worst.
Yeah. Right. Oh, we could talk for probably 2 or 3 hours more on this, but unfortunately we're running out of time here because I know you folks are busy as well, but I do appreciate you spending some time with us, and thank you to you and your entire team for everything you do for the victims here in our area. And again, the hotline number, 343-7233.
Yes. It's 343-SAFE. on the
343 safe. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Call that if you need. And of course, our toy drive going on, continuing through this weekend through 5 o'clock tomorrow night, and collecting new unwrapped toys and certainly cash donations out at the Southwest parking lot at Menards. Look for the big trailer out there. And again, thank you. Please extend our thanks to everybody on your team. And I hope you have a great holiday.
Yeah, thank you. And I just kind of want to really quick kind of thank the community just ahead of time for all the, you know, toys that we will be receiving this weekend. It really does mean a lot to all of us workers at Safe Harbor, but not only to us. It means so much to our families, and just giving them the opportunity to be able to provide their kids with gifts when some of them may not have been able to in the past. Mm-hmm. And just kind of, you know, on Christmas morning, as you're watching your own child open up their gift, just kind of think about, oh, I donated that tractor, I donated that doll, and it is being opened up probably around the same time from someone who wouldn't have got it otherwise.
Ah, that's very well said. That's great. Well, again, thank you for what you do, and I hope we have a very successful toy drive for you this weekend. Come back and see us soon, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thanks.